Unfortunately, a lot of the people I know are making this not a health issue. They're making this a political issue, to the point that they feel that the inconvenience they related to constitutional rights. Well, let me tell you about inconvenience. My son passed away less than 2 weeks ago. This kid wears his mask 12 hours a day. So I feel no sympathy for you, with all due respect, for not wanting to wear your mask 1 hour when you go to the supermarket. He came home many times with his ears, blisters on his ears, behind his ears, 12 hours a day before God took him away. As a nurse, he was wearing his mask. So with all due respect, wear your mask with the same honor and the same respect that my son did for every single one of the people he took care of at the hospital. I'm sorry. That's it.
Requino, Vice Mayor Clufus, your input would be helpful as well.
Absolutely. Good evening. And first, I would just like to extend my condolences to Councilmember Ranquino. I can't imagine what the situation is like for you. Just know that I'm with you, and I have no words for what occurred, and I'm sorry. As far as the COVID mask wearing situation, I'm in complete concurrence. I think right now, when we look at this from the stance of trying to keep our economy open and being able to have our students return to schools in the fall, we need to seriously try to eliminate any outbreak that we have locally here. And when we look at the data that, you know, there was 10 people on July 6th that were tested positive, but the median age is 62 years old. And then on the 3rd, the median age was 69 years old. And so we have to understand that we have a higher propensity of individuals who are susceptible and have comorbidities, that we aren't necessarily as safe as everyone thinks. And we have done a great job up to this point with our numbers, but if we don't remain vigilant and responsible, then we put everything that we've worked to do at risk. And the other thing I'd like to say is that this also sets the tone for visitors coming into our community. I know that Hammock is busy, and there's individuals who are traveling outside of Hammock who don't respect the quarantine. And I'm hopeful that if they know that Palm Coast is having a mandate on mask wearing, that perhaps they'll take it a bit more seriously. I know that individuals in Flagler County are worried as a whole from outsiders, but so am I, from people coming into our community that are in hotter spots than we are right now. So I'm just looking at the data, and I'm looking at the overall health of our community and the susceptibility and our age demographic that we have to realistically try to protect in Palm Coast. And I'm in support of what we're going after here, Mayor. And I was thankful that Rick Staley, Sheriff Staley, was able to publicly comment and flush out how he thinks that he would be able to help us ensure that a mandate would be successful.
Thank you. I appreciate your input. Councilmember Cuff.
Yes, Mayor. You know, in thinking this through, I remember, it seems like a million years ago now, but it was only a few weeks when the city started shutting down its public facilities in response to the stay-at-home mandates. And we received, I'm sure the other council members did too, many emails saying, oh, don't do that. You don't need to do that. We're responsible. We know how to stay away from each other, and we're mature adults. And I'd like to think all those people were sincere and all those people are still healthy and were telling the truth. What we're seeing in the last couple of weeks here is that, regardless of how many responsible people we have, and there are many out there, there aren't enough of them. And we need to do whatever we can to get people to wear masks. To echo Councilmember Branchino's statements, this isn't a political issue. I don't care if you want to wear a red mask that says MAGA, if you want to wear a blue mask that says Biden 2020, Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, or unicorns and rainbows. people that are out in public in situations where they cannot be sure they're going to be able to stay far enough away from their fellow residents need to have a mask on. The excuses that I have seen offered by the anti-mask people on the claimed legal basis why they can't be compelled to wear a mask because of the constitutional privacy laws in the Florida Constitution, or all strike me as it's the same as 5-year-olds trying to tell their parents why they shouldn't have to go to bed at their regular bedtime. They're make-weight arguments by people that have agendas other than the best interests of their fellow citizens. So I don't like to tell anybody what they have to do, what they ought to do. I hope we can rely on the common sense and the common decency of our citizens. But if we don't do something to start turning these numbers around and getting them headed in the right direction, the economic impact on this community, on this state, on the nation is going to be enormous, even compared to what we've already had to suffer. So I completely support whatever we can do to increase the number of people who are wearing masks out in public. And again, it's not a political issue. It's a medical issue. It's a survival issue. We're supposed to be the smartest species on the planet. And I hate to be harsh, but there's a lot of people that I run into every time I have to go to Publix or Lowe's or any place else that aren't living up to that description. So please, please, it isn't over. It's not going away because we wish it will. We need to live with it and we need to deal with it if we want to keep our community open, keep our citizens working, keep our economy running, and keep as many people as possible healthy and prevent the kind of needless deaths that we've seen so far. That's my position on it.
Thank you so much, Councilmember Howell.
I think both Councilman Brancino and Councilman Kopp pretty well nailed it. You know, sometimes in government, we have to protect the public from themselves. And in this particular scenario, I totally agree with making the mask mandatory. Yes, if there are health issues and a person can't wear the mask, there's always exceptions. But I'm one of those guys at age 77 that's in that high risk category, and I'm trying to make it to 78. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Well, I really appreciate all the input. You know, again, I thought it was important for us as a governing body that does set policy for this community to state on the record how we feel about this issue. It's unfortunate that it has taken the political turn and nature it has. As we, from the very beginning of COVID, our response was reliant upon our health department and our emergency management teams that spent an enormous amount of time digging into the data and the details that allowed us to make recommendations and decisions that kept everyone safe as a whole. Our numbers are and were substantially low, and that really is due in part to our residents' compliance. When the governor shut down the state, our residents stayed home. That was significant. Unfortunately, this now has taken another a dangerous turn with the numbers that we're seeing. We're told from our hospital system that the numbers of patients are getting to a point that they're concerned. And those are the professionals that are guiding us through these decisions. And it's important that we listen to them, and it's important that we heed their advice. We do it when we have hurricanes. We do it when we have wildfires. This is a public health crisis that has hit the world. And we, as one part of this dynamic, have to take that seriously. And so the proclamation that I have brought up or Matt about New Smyrna, if you can read that into the public record, because there are some exemptions, there are some exceptions to it. It does talk about if you do have health conditions, you know, you are exempt from this requirement. It talks about, you know, anywhere outside, right? You know, so this only has to do with being indoors. And when you're indoors, you know, and we're asking you to please be considerate to your neighbors and other community members and our healthcare workers and first responders,
please,
who are in the most contact of anybody in our community and are at risk. So it's not just our senior citizens and those that fall into at-risk categories. Our first responders continue to respond to calls on a daily basis. Our healthcare workers continue to treat patients at their medical facilities. That has not stopped because COVID has hit our community. What has changed is the amount of hours and sacrifices that they are making. And what we can't afford is for our first responders or our healthcare workers to become infected and not be able to respond as they need to and they're trained to. And so it is important that we do take this very, very seriously, trying again to understand where we find that balance of doing it within what we feel will be very helpful to remedy what we're seeing today.